Please stand for the reading of God's word. Today's scripture passage comes from Psalms chapter 121, verses 1 through 8. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble, and no one watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go both now and forever. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I like when Quentin comes, I can step up on this step because then I can look him in the eye. Instead of, all right. But good morning again. Welcome to the Living Water Church. And I'm just excited that you're here as we're continuing this series of courageous living. And so today I want to tell the story of how Israel ended up with a king. Now, you may be familiar with the kings from the Old Testament, King Saul, King David, King Solomon, but for many, many years, Israel didn't have a king, and there's a story behind how that ended up happening, and it has something to do with our promise today, and that is the promise of protection. And so the series we've been going through has been about calming our fears, and one of the things that scares us is if we feel insecure. Maybe you've been there, you know, you're at home and maybe it's dark in the house because there's a storm and there's no power and you hear some creaking noises and you just start to feel a little insecure. Or maybe you're walking down the street or driving and somebody's just kind of getting up close to you, someone's kind of tailgating you and you start to get a little bit insecure. Or maybe you've been wondering at your job, are they going to keep me? You know, you've been hearing about layoffs. You've been hearing about these cutbacks. And you've heard of these changes that are coming. And you begin to start to feel insecure. You see, that security is just one of those things that's tied to protection. When you don't feel like you're protected, you feel insecure. That's the fear. Insecurity. Now, there's a whole industry that creates stuff to help us feel more secure in life. Maybe you've purchased some of these items that I'm going to show you. First of all, there's the whole security home protection services. I mean, you can really go all out with cameras and sensors and a company to monitor it all. You know, and I found this kind of interesting gadget that you can get for your home. It's a security device that lodges a CGI character called Basil, which appears on a mirror and prompts with interesting one-liners when it senses any unwanted activity. So you can have a talking mirror in your house for security. You know, who knew? Then there's also, we have a security keychain. This one has 16 items to help keep you safe. It's got a flashlight, a whistle, an alarm. It's got some kind of poke me, you in the eye device. It's got a pocket knife, all kinds of stuff to make you feel secure. And I found this bug-out bag, you know, just in case, you know, the whole world falls apart, you can be safe. Or if you really want to feel safe, you can get your concealed carry permit and keep a gun on you at all times. Or if money is no object, you can go out and get your car completely bulletproofed. Here's one that's a little cheaper. This is a security door wedge that has an alarm that you can use when you stay at a hotel, you know, just in case the electric lock and the deadbolt isn't enough protection for you. Lastly, I think one of my favorites is the hidden sword in a walking stick, you know, just in case. But the truth is, I think we all think about security to one degree or another. The question for today for us is where we're putting our security. Where are we putting our trust? You know, are we putting our trust in things like tactical pens or batons or special things that we can carry with us? And I guess there's really nothing wrong with any of those things if it helps you, but where are you going to place your security? And this became a question for the Israelites. Because see, as the people of Israel developed, as they moved into the promised land, they began taking over that area, and they moved into this time of the judges, where God would raise up a judge, kind of like a military leader, and you had these leaders that would be kind of listening to God. And then you come up to Samuel, who was a judge. And when Samuel was a judge, he was a really good judge. But then the people, towards the end of his life, began to look around at other nations. And they became jealous because they didn't have a king. And that's where we pick up our story in 1 Samuel chapter 8. I put that whole chapter there in your notes for you to follow along, because we're just going to kind of read through this chapter. And here's what it says. As Samuel grew old, okay, so this is the judge, Samuel. He's been a really good judge, and again, a judge in the Old Testament is someone who speaks on behalf of God. So in many ways, Israel up to this point was a theocracy. God had guided them, and he spoke through the judges and the people, and people like Samuel. But as he grew older, he appointed his sons to be judges over Israel, Joel and Abijah, his oldest sons, and they held court in Bathsheba. Verse 3. But they were not like their father, for they were greedy for money. And so this is kind of the reason the Israelites were rebelling against this judges system. There had been some abuses going on. Verse 4, finally all the elders of Israel met at Ramah to discuss the matter with Samuel. Look, they told him, you're now old and your sons are not like you. Now here's what they said, and this is where the story starts to go awry. Give us a king to judge us like all the nations have. In other words, Samuel, we're not sure we can put our trust and our security in the judge system anymore, especially with your sons who are a little bit crazy for money. And so we want a king. Now, they already had God ruling over their nation, but they wanted a human king. And they already had God who was kind of ruling their nation, but they didn't want that anymore. So they said, that's what we wanted to put our protection in, is a human king. Verse 6, Samuel was what? He was displeased. Someone's following along. Thank you. He was displeased with their request, and he went to the Lord for guidance. Because remember, this is how God ruled the nation, through the judges. Do everything they say, the Lord replied. You know, that's interesting. That was what God decided. For they are rejecting me. And that's a really sad statement. Not you. They don't want me to be their king any longer. Now think about that. They're going to exchange God, the King of Kings, the creator of the universe, for a human king. Verse 8. Ever since I brought them from Egypt, they have continually abandoned me and followed other gods. Do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about the way a king will reign over them. So here's the warning. So Samuel passed on the Lord's warning to the people who were asking for a king. Verse 11, this is how a king will reign over you, Samuel said. The king will draft your sons and assign them to his chariots and charioteers. Make them run before his chariots. Some will be generals and captives in his army. Some will be forced to plow in his fields and harvest his crops. And some will make his weapons and chariots equipment. The king will take your daughters from you and force them to cook and bake and make perfume for him. And then for you, he will take away the best of your fields and vineyards, olive groves, and give them to his own officials. He will take a tenth of your grain and your grape harvest and distribute among his officers and attendants. And he will take your male and female slaves and demand the finest of your cattle and donkeys for his own use. He'll demand a tenth of your flocks, and you will be his slaves. When that day comes, you will beg for relief from this king you are demanding. But then we have another sad phrase here. The Lord will not help you. So Samuel is saying, look, you really got to think about this, you know, where you're going for your security, who you're going to look for protection. You got to think this through. There's going to be some consequences here. Verse 19, and here's another sad statement. But the people refused to listen to Samuel's warning. Even so, we still want a king, they said, and, you know, that's just like humanity. Verse 20, we want to be like the nations around us. Our king will judge us and lead us into battle. And verse 21, so Samuel repeated to the Lord what the people had said, and then the Lord replied, do as they say, give them a king. Then Samuel agreed and sent the people home. And this becomes really a sad turn in the nation of Israel. Things didn't go so well for the upcoming kings. You had Saul, which didn't do a great job. David was kind of the highlight. And then Samuel towards the end of his life, not Samuel, but Solomon, thank you. It started with an S. Solomon, you know, he towards the end of his life, he started to go the wrong direction. And then his sons, you know, the nation was split. It didn't work out so well for them. And the decision that Israel had to make, decided to make, is a decision that we really are faced every day. And that's the decision of where we're going to put our trust for our security. Who is going to be the king of our life? Are we going to allow God to be our provider and our protector, to the one to whom we place our full security? Or are we going to look to someone else or something else? But what we often do without really thinking about it along the way is, well, sometimes we begin to look to ourselves. And we make ourselves like a little king, a mini king, where we say, I'm going to be my own king. I'm going to be my own protector. Or sometimes we look to other things. We look to our bank account for our security. And that's going to provide for me. Or my investments, my 401k, my pensions. Or we look to our job. And we begin to find our security in what we do. That's where our security comes from, that paycheck. Or we look to another person. And we say, that's where my security is coming. Having that other person in my life. And in all those things, we're saying the same thing, just like the people of Israel was saying. God, we're going to turn from you, and we're going to look to someone or something else. And this doesn't play out so well for the Israelites. And it doesn't play out so well for us. Either when we decide to put our trust and our protection in anything other than God. So back to our sermon notes there on the front page, we have this question, why should I trust God to protect me? Okay, so I'm just going to use three theological terms that I imagine you've heard before, but it's good for us to be reminded of it, and that's first because he's omnipotent. He's omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful. Okay, if you're going to find security in someone, choose someone who's all-powerful. Because all those security gadgets that you can buy will only get you so far. It's so much better to first put your trust in God. Not only is God all-powerful, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere, all the time. There is no place that God isn't. You can't run from God. He's everywhere. He created everything. He's bigger than everything. He sees everything. And then the last one is he's omniscient. He knows everything. God's all-powerful, all-present, and all-knowing. And even though we know that about God, so often we come to God like the people in Israel did in our story, and we say, nope, you know, God, yeah, I'm just going to turn from all of that that you are, and I'm going to put my trust in the tangible, what I can see and what I can feel. But we've really got to remember what it's like to keep our trust, to keep our focus, to keep our security, to keep our protection in God. And that takes us to our promise for this week. The promise of protection is that God fights for me. That's the promise. That God fights for me. And this is where it all comes together. He's all-powerful, he's all-present, he's all-knowing, he's got our back, and he's fighting for us. He's there to protect us. And so what does that look like? What does it look like to live the promise of protection? What does it look like to know that God has our back, to know that God is fighting for us, to know that God's on our side? I mean, how do I tap into that? How do I live this out? So let's look at how God protects me. And first of all, the foundation of how it begins is he protects me when I trust in him. And see, that's where many of us make a mistake, is we don't trust in him. We trust in someone else. And then we go to God and say, God, why didn't you, when our trust was other places? And so that's where it begins. Is we have to choose and we have to live out trusting in him. Whatever you're facing a fear, whenever you're facing an anxiety, an uncertainty, when you feel insecure, when those emotions start to grip you, that's a sign that your trust is misplaced. So anxiety and worry and insecurity, that's a warning light for us to say, okay, let me back up for a minute and ask, am I putting my trust in God in these circumstances? Psalm 20, verse 7 is our key verse for this sermon, because it ties in so well with what Samuel said to the people of Israel when they wanted a king. It says, some boast of their chariots and horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord our God. Now, who's the we? The we is those who have put our trust in God. So underline that phrase, chariots and horses. I imagine none of us have a chariot. That'd be pretty cool if you did, but I know there's a few people who have horses here. I want you not to take this literally. I want you to think about, what are you boasting in besides the Lord? I mean, have you ever met someone who boasts in their money? Or how about someone who boasts in their education, their degrees? Someone who boasts in their accomplishments or their titles? And none of those are really bad in and of themselves, but if you boast in those, it's always going to come up short. So where do we boast? Where do we put our trust? You know, it's my hope that for us here at Living Water, it's in the name of the Lord our God. And then here's the promise, Psalm 37:5. Notice the two go together. It says, commit everything you do to the Lord. Another way to say that is to trust everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He will be your protector. That's where it starts. So God protects me when I choose to trust him. And then I want you to see this. Number two is, God protects me when I've been wronged. When I've been wronged. And imagine you've been around long enough to know that you're going to be wronged in life. There's going to be things that happen where you're going to be hurt. Someone's going to hurt you. Someone's going to say things about you. Someone's going to stab you in the back. Someone is going to take advantage of you. And life is full of arrows that we have to absorb from time to time. And we use that phrase. We say, I've been wronged. I've been hurt. Well, whenever that happens, our human tendency is to put our trust in ourselves, to say, I'm going to fix this problem. My security has been shaken because I've been hurt. And I don't know if I've been protected like I should have been from God, so I'm going to get even. And revenge, whenever that comes into our mind, that's another warning light that you're moving away from God and his protection, and you're trusting in yourself. And that's where we are, and that's where you are today, is I want you to give this reminder that if you're there today thinking about wanting to do revenge and get even, here's what it says in Romans 12, verse 19. Paul says, dear friends, never take revenge. Would you underline that? Never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Now, maybe you came in today, and you're holding a grudge. Maybe you've held on to it for years. Maybe you're even considering revenge, getting even. Let me remind you to turn that situation over to the Lord. He's fighting for you. God has your back. Give it to him. He's in control. Stay faithful to him. And he knows so much more than we do about the circumstances, and he can deal with it in the best way possible. Now, I have an uncle who has perfected the art of holding on to a grudge. Maybe you know someone like that. You know, he, so much so that he didn't talk to one of his sons for 11 years. He got upset at my parents and didn't talk to them for several years. He was holding on to a grudge. Now, he's now gotten past all that. And he's involved in a church, and God has just changed his life, and he's just doing really well in those relationships. But think of all those wasted years of holding that grudge. Let go of that grudge and those thoughts of revenge and stay focused on trusting God. Now, I want to kind of, in this topic of God's protection of us, I want to kind of even this out, kind of show you the other side of things. You know, there's this book in the Old Testament called the Book of Job. And Job, we think, is the oldest book written in the Old Testament. And Job, you probably know his story, but he was a very righteous guy. He lived his life for God, and God blessed him richly. He had many kids. He had grandkids. He was one of the wealthiest, if not the wealthiest person in the world at that time. And so there ended up being this cosmic conversation that Job didn't know anything about, where Satan and God is talking, and Satan points out Job, and he says, you got this guy who you've blessed, and because you've blessed him, he serves you, but take away his blessings, and he will curse you. He'll stop serving you. And so God said, all right, I'm going to take that protection away from him. And so God did, and in one day, Job lost everything. Righteous guy. Always did things right. He lost his kids, his grandkids, his properties, his possessions, everything. But even in that, he chose to serve God, to hold on to his relationship with God. And so God and Satan are continuing to talk about this situation, and Satan says, well, yeah, sure, he's still serving you. I mean, you took all that stuff away, but he's doing fine in his health. Take away his health, and he will curse you. And so God again said, all right, you know, you can't kill him, but you can touch his body. And so he did, and Job ended up breaking out all these painful boils, so much so that he cursed the day he was born because he was in so much pain. And his wife tried to get him to just, he said, curse God and die. You were living such a miserable life, but he refused to do it. And in the end of this story, you know, he has this argument with his friends, and he has this argument with God, and God helps him to see that God knows things we don't know. You know, God's always been there. And in the end, he ended up getting back his kids, and he ended up getting back his wealth. Of course, it was different kids now, but, you know, he was blessed again. But the point of the whole thing is you can live a perfect life. You can live a great life. You can live for God and still have something terrible happen in your life. And this is one of the most challenging promises for me. I didn't lose my faith, but my belief in God's protection was greatly shaken when my daughter passed away. Because, see, I believed that God, I don't know that I ever consciously believed this, but I had this belief that God protects you in the moment. And that he won't allow terrible things to happen. And then my daughter, on a mission trip, is serving God. And two of her friends and herself die drowning at a riptide in the ocean. And my faith in God's protection was shattered. Because I had this mistaken understanding that God will always protect in the moment. See, sometimes God protects for eternity. Sometimes we just don't know what's going on. I don't know why God allowed that to happen, but I guarantee you there was a reason. I don't know what would have happened in my daughter's life, what she would have faced that maybe God was protecting her from. I don't know. I won't know till I get to heaven. But we do have the promise that God's protection is real. And there's sometimes when he protects us in the moment, and there's a car coming your right way, and all of a sudden you swerve. You don't think you even touched the wheel, and you were protected from that accident. And there's sometimes when he doesn't. But there's this idea that for eternity, there's this protection. And so we have to place our trust in God that he knows what's best, and there's a reason for the things that we go through. So how do I keep my trust in God? How do I allow God to be my protector? Well, I realize that God fights for me. And I allow God to protect me when I've been wronged. And then here's the third one. I realize that God protects me when I go through difficulty. When I go through difficulty, just like others are going to speak bad about you from time to time and you're going to be wronged, we're also going to find ourselves going through these difficulties from time to time. And so Cheryl has shared this story once before. But I think the one that most recent in our lives of a difficulty that we've been through happened, I think, about 6 years ago, if I'm remembering correctly, when Cheryl and I heard one of the most difficult news of our lives, that she had cancer. And during the journey of finding out what was causing her ankles and feet to swell, we ended up finding out that it was appendix cancer, something that's very rare and usually found too late. And the biggest and greatest person we had on our side through that journey was the Lord. And during that whole journey, over and over, I had to remind myself that God is fighting for us. God's on our side. God knows more than we do. And during this time, there were many people praying for Cheryl. And it was a challenge, especially because our next door neighbor was also fighting cancer at the time. For her, it was pancreatic cancer. And she was a believer in Jesus. And so her and Cheryl supported each other during this journey. For her, in the end, God chose to permanently heal her in heaven. And for Cheryl, God allowed her to have more time here on this earth. Now, right now, you, in your life and your difficulties, you might not be going through a cancer diagnosis, or maybe you are. But whatever it is, whatever difficulties that you're facing, it might be something smaller than cancer. It might be something bigger than that. But whatever it is for you, it's real. And so that doesn't mean that you shouldn't write it on a connection card as one of those steps so that we can pray for you. If you're going through a difficulty, no matter what it is, it's worth having God on your side as you go through it. It's worth us praying about it. It's worth asking the prayer team to pray for you. It's worth remembering that God is fighting for you as you're going through that difficulty. He's got your back. So a couple of verses for you. You know, the long one is the one that Quentin just read for us, Psalm 121. This is a beautiful psalm for you to memorize if you were ever to want to memorize a bigger passage. But David's going through a difficult time. And I want to just go through this passage one more time. It says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? And there's this applied no. My help comes from the Lord. Would you underline that phrase? My help comes from the Lord. My help, my protector, my security comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Remember, he's all powerful. And he will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. And so no matter what time of the night it is, you can talk to God. He's right there. The Lord himself does what? He watches over you. Would you underline that phrase? He watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean you shouldn't wear sunscreen. I'm just saying, okay? But verse 7, the Lord keeps you from all harm. And again, watches over your life. Again, would you underline that phrase? He watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. You know, I speak that scripture passage over you today. Psalm 121, it's a powerful passage. If you're going through difficulty, God is fighting for you. Trust in him as your protector. Lean on him. Psalm 112, verse 7, and this is a tough verse to get our mind around, but it says, they do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. Who's they? Those who have put our trust, our protection, our security in the Lord our God. And so bad news even doesn't cause them fear because they know God's got them. It might mean that we've got to go through some tough things, but God is there to help them. So God protects me when I feel afraid. And that's really what this whole series has been about, is fear. And we talked about how you can have these promises that were looked at. And if you missed any of these in the series, you can go to our website, listen to the sermon, or watch the whole service on Facebook Live. But the series has been about fear. And we live in a society where there's just more fear than ever before. And if you're not going through fear right now, give it some time, and you'll be facing a fear. And I want you to know that whenever you feel that fear, let that emotion just bounce off of you and turn your trust purposely to the Lord. See, fear is a reminder that we need to turn our trust, turn our attention back to God. It's a great teacher of how to pray deep prayers. And I don't know what you're going through today. I'm not sure what your fears are. You might be just completely overwhelmed today. It might be a minor miracle that you were even able to make it to worship. You might feel underwater. Let me speak this next verse into your life. This has been our key verse for the series, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, a powerful verse to memorize. It says, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So God protects me when I feel afraid. God protects me when I trust him. That's where it starts. He protects me when I've been wronged. He protects me when I go through difficulty. God protects me when I feel afraid. And then on the back of your notes, I just wouldn't want to leave without saying this, that God protects me for eternity through Jesus Christ. Because sometimes that's what the whole protection is all about. God protects me for eternity through Jesus Christ. So I've been talking about God, the God of the Old Testament, thinking about the Trinity. We've been talking about God the Father and how he protects you. All right, but then God the Father loved you so much that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to live, to die for your sins on the cross, and then to come back to life that first Easter morning. And it's through the resurrection of Jesus that God protects us for all eternity. So what we've been talking about is what God offers. And I've been challenging you to put your protection in the Lord. And the way that you do that is you put your trust in Jesus Christ. You believe in Jesus. You declare him as leader of your life. So let's just take a moment and reflect. What are you trusting in? Honestly, taking away the spiritual language and just trying to honestly say, is there something I'm trusting in other than God? You know, if you're trusting in money, it could be gone in a second. The stock market can crash. The downturns of companies that we thought could never go under can do just that. Nothing is too big to fail. If you're trusting in your education, you know, it's only going to take you so far. And even then, times change, and our education for one day is not what you need for the next. If you're trusting in another person, that man or that woman, they could walk out the door at any time. If you're trusting in your job, well, your company, it could go a different direction. It could be bought out. If you're trusting in yourself, are you really omnipotent and omniscient? Our trust should be in the Lord, and the way that you trust in the Lord is you trust in God's Son, Jesus. So I want to show you how that works. Romans 10, verse 9 just makes it so clear, so simple. It's there in your notes. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, circle that word Lord, and right above it write the word leader. He's the one that's leading us. That he's the leader of your life, or whatever we've been talking about today, he's the protector of my life. And so if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord or leader or protector, and then you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so I want to give you a chance just to do that right now. You know, maybe you've given your heart to Jesus, but, you know, life has taken over and you just need to renew that commitment. Maybe there's something that you know you've been struggling with, this worry, this anxiety. It could be about your kids. It could be about anything. And maybe this is the time to release it to God. Or maybe you've never accepted Christ, been a part of the church, just never walked across that line. I want us to be able to have that opportunity as we go to God in prayer. Let's pray. The Heavenly Father, fear can be a tough topic because we like to think we don't fear anything. We like to think that nothing can shake us, that we can handle whatever life comes our way, with God or without God. And so, would you just take the blinders off. God, would you help us to see the inside of our inner life the way you see us? Would you help us to take away those protections, those boxes where we have kind of boxed our fear rather than giving our fear to you? Would you help us to see what we're trusting in if it's anything other than you, Father? And God, would you help us to create these grooves in our life that when this fear arises, whatever it's from, that we just automatically go to you? Would you break just these chains of being self-reliant? Would you help us to lean more on you in these moments of fear? Would you break those chains of being reliant to our credit card or our loans when we are struggling financially or when our health is struggling, that we rely just on modern medicine, but instead we go to you first and then to these other things? that our trust is in you, and then we use these other tools to help us in whatever that difficulty, whatever that challenge is, that you are the source of our protection, that you are the one that we just automatically seek out when those emotions start to get stirred in us because of whatever is going on in our life. You know, and if you would like, just right now as we're praying, to accept Jesus into your heart, or maybe to renew your relationship with him, would you just in this moment, as I say the words, would you just repeat them in your heart, repeat it in your mind? Would you, if you'd like to accept Jesus, would you say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and that you rose on that third day. And I realize that I need you, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Today I declare that you are my Lord. I want to live you for you this day forward through the fellowship of your church. Thank you for protecting me for all eternity. And for all of us, God, would you help us to truly see what we're putting our trust in? If it's not you, help us to see it. Take those blinders off. Help us to see ourselves the way you see us. May we learn to go to you first when that fear creeps in. May you become our counselor when we've been wounded by words. May you become the balm of Gilead when we have been through a hurtful situation. For it is by your stripes that we are healed. And we know there is healing under the shadow of your wings. May we just learn to go to you first. In all the things that we experience in life, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.